Ladies and gentlemen, it's my pleasure to welcome to the Soleri Report Polly Tommy, who is the executive producer of Vaxxed 2, which is the sequel to Vaxxed. If you remember, Vaxxed was the documentary of the year on the Soleri Report in 2016. Polly is, in addition to a very successful career in media, and is an author and editor and the producer of these two great documentaries. She's also the mother of an autistic child and is very, very passionate about this. Is there a noise back there?
We have chickens running around. I can't really get away from them. I'm sorry.
We live on that's a farm. Okay. That's great. Well, I normally live in Hickory Valley, Tennessee, so I understand the problem. Usually behind me, it's cows that are usually making the noise and dogs that herd them. Anyway, so with that, Polly, welcome to the Soleri Report. Thank you for joining us, and congratulations on an incredible sequel to Vaxxed with Vaxxed 2.
Thank you for having me. And I have to say, you know, the really strong team put that film together, and I'm grateful to them.
Now, there are two things I want to accomplish with this conversation. One is I want everybody to get Vaxxed 2 and watch it. As we start, let's just talk about how you find the website, how you get the DVD, and how you stream Vaxxed 2 online.
So on that note, because of censorship, which has been so strong with Vaxxed 2, the People's Truth, we had a much better run with Vaxxed 1, because they, you know, being thrown out of Tribeca, they gave us free publicity. So they were wised up. And so we can't really stream anywhere except for if you go to Vaxxed2.com. You will be able to stream it on there and see other stories as well and get DVDs. And if you have a Roku television and you want to watch Vaxxed 2 on your television and you have Roku, then pull up the channel Peeps TV, P-E-E-P-S TV, and you will see the People's Truth on there. And you will also see all the stories from the road that we recorded, because Vaxxed 2, we could only take a few of those stories in, but there are thousands and thousands of stories on every single vaccine. So if you have a Roku channel, that's the best place to go. You have to pull up Peeps TV and then you'll see all of our work.
Okay, great. And your son was the producer. The process of having to become your own media, you've turned into a media conglomerate.
Right. Well, my son Toby was at college, and when I was driving the bus, I called him and I said, Toby, you have to come out of college and you have to drive this bus. I need a bus driver. And he said, Mom, how many mothers would ever call this child up and say, get out of college and drive a bus? And I said, Toby, this is the best education you will ever see. And he drove the bus for a few months for us. And then after that, was so passionate about what he saw that he got together with Brian Burrows, who was the editor of the first film, Vaxxed, and they made this film. And I could not be more proud of him.
Yeah, they did an incredible job. Now, let me take you back to the screenings that occurred after Tribeca exploded the media attention to Vaxxed. You're on the road, you're starting to go around with the Vaxxed team to do panel discussions after the screenings, and you decide to buy a bus. Start us there and tell us how this happened.
Well, it was incredible, because I think anything prepared Andy Wakefield, Del Bigtree, or myself for the amount of parents that were forming lines for the three of us after the film, after the Q&As, to tell us their stories. It was overwhelming. And all three of us knew that the world needed to hear them. So that's when we started going live, or I started going live, or Andy and Del dealt with the science of it. And then that became too much. I couldn't do the stories. There wasn't enough time to do these stories. And we were wasting so much time flying and waiting in airports. I just said to Del, I happened to be traveling with Del, I said, we've got to get a bus. And we've got to be on the ground with the parents and travel to their homes or wherever it is that they call us to be. And so we got this rickety old bus from one of the people, Sheila Ely, who's in the first film, her story. She gave us her old family bus, and we got out there. We just got out on the road, and it was incredible, incredible. It is still incredible.
So Vaxxed really focused on vaccine injury related to the MMR vaccine, But when you got on the road, you started interviewing these thousands of parents who were showing up. You discovered that the problem was much bigger than you had understood. Tell us about your education listening to the parents.
Yeah, so my passion has always been the MMR because my son only had the MMR when he was 13 months old that day, and that's what injured him. So I didn't really think about the other vaccines. I just knew I was never going to vaccinate my children again, and the MMR was a problem. So when we got out on the road, just a couple of days in, we got our first Gardasil story, and that really shook us. I mean, this girl was telling us exactly what happened to her. It made us, we have this whole new generation with this whole new vaccine, this Gardasil HPV vaccine, with people being able to tell us their stories. Whereas, you know, Billy and the Billies of this world, my son was injured by this vaccine, he can't tell us what happened to him. He can't even formulate that. And then after the Gardasil, we did that Gardasil story live, lines of the Gardasil girls and the Gardasil boys at every single stop. It became the biggest story of all. Everywhere we went was a Gardasil story. And then we got our first dead baby story, which horrified us. None of us had even thought for a second that SIDS was heavily related, as reported by the parents, to vaccine death, you know, vaccine injury and death. And the minute we did our first dead baby story, they all started coming in. It was like the world was waking up to every single vaccine, and that this bus was the place to go and tell your story, because these parents, like myself, we had no way of getting out what had happened to us. And I have to say, every single parent that came to that bus or person to tell their story, they're doing it because they're trying to warn other people. They're not doing it because they want compensation or it's not going to make their lives any better. It's literally a group of thousands, if not millions, worldwide trying to warn other parents not to go through this.
Right. You can tell they're terrified that it should happen to another parent, what has happened to them.
And I have never seen so much pain. I don't even know this kind of pain was in this world. Of the pain of the parents that lost their children, or their children are severely brain damaged. It's that you can see in their eyes, their soul is just weeping. It's just terrible. It's horrific. It's barbaric.
So I was following you as the bus is going around. I was watching the videos that you would post. And one of the things that would happen is you see with these parents, who many of whom have to stay isolated in their home taking care of kids, and you would have them on Periscope, and I want you to tell everybody what Periscope is, but then you would point out all the hearts of people expressing their connection with them, and you could see the terrible relief they felt on suddenly not being alone. It was astonishing.
Yeah. I mean, basically, we started going out on Periscope, which is, it's called Peeps TV, and it's at Vax2 if you want to join us. And what will happen is, when I would get a story, I would press the live button and the world would join in. I mean, literally people from around the world would get a notification that I was going live, and they would see that story exactly the same time as I was seeing the story. And what these families started doing is feeling so much, either they've been through the story themselves, you know, they had the same situation, but the love that was going from around the world to the person sitting on the bus telling the story was incredible. And the hearts, and they would do it by sending these hearts. And I just had to show these people that how much they were loved. And it really, it made such a difference that everybody was almost giving one big group hug of, we know what you're going through, we know your pain, and we're here for you. So. Yeah.
So one of the things the parents have experienced, and I've seen this for many years, I saw it with my clients, was there was by the government, by the media, by the healthcare industry, by the pharmaceutical industry, there was incredible both bullying and gaslighting of parents, even enforcement blaming them for the deaths or the injury. And so if you look at what's been done to these parents, one is the terrible harm of the vaccine injury to the child and the family and the parents. But then there is the second harm of insisting that this is not really happening.
The level of bullying to these parents is unbelievable. And the bullying starts when you go in and question a vaccine. That's when it starts. I mean, the amount of parents that would say to us, what we used to call the terrible things that the pediatricians say, if you don't have this vaccine, your child will die. If you don't have this vaccine, you will die of cancer. That is going to happen. I mean, it's just that that's where it starts. And out of fear, people who weren't going to vaccinate, then vaccinate. Then once you have your injury, the dead babies, the parents report the police are sent in. They're treated as if they were the ones that killed their baby. And then from there on in, family members, if anybody said, you know, my baby died from the vaccine, only had the vaccines a couple of days ago or the day before, the family members as well as the online trolls coming on and saying terrible things. And all the Gardasil girls have been told, it's in your head, you're making this up, you're doing it for attention. So on it goes. And of course, we all know how the parents are treated with autistic children. I mean, the bullying is huge. It's huge. It's very, and it just adds to the pain.
So here's to me what made Vaxxed, you know, and I again, one of the things I want everybody to do is I want you to watch the documentary. And then at the end, I'm going to ask Polly how we can support her. But we want to see this get as supported as possible. But you need to watch it. The thing that, to me, that made Vaxxed just a world-class documentary is you radiate the sense that you are unbelievably curious to get to the bottom of what is really going on, and you absolutely believe that the way to get to the facts is to listen to the parents, to thousands of parents, and you are deeply interested in every one of their stories and open. There's no feeling that you have a theory of what's going on and you're going to impose that theory. You just want to hear story after story, and your truly inspired caring and interest to hear the truth. It just radiates through the whole documentary. And you seem to know that this was the pathway to listen to the parents.
I mean, I've always been passionate about listening to parents, because here's why. When I took my child in to get my child vaccinated, I wholly trusted the white coat medical professionals. It didn't occur to me that there could ever be a problem, because if there was going to be a problem, they would have told me about it. And so having gone through that experience of then, you know, the doctor's hands in your face, you're crazy. That my doctor even said that maybe John and I needed psychiatric help, thinking it was the vaccines. So having been through that, I knew the parents weren't getting heard. And out on the road, with those lines that went on forever and ever, we did not leave until we had finished that last story. And sometimes it was 1 or 2 in the morning, because every parent deserves the right for their story to be told. And from the
Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah, but from listening to the parents.
Polly, those...
Yeah,
those lines were so long.
I know. I mean, sadly, some parents couldn't stay and wait. We just got back from Utah, and there was the snow up there, and there were parents waiting for 4 hours in the freezing snow, and their children are severely autistic, and they had to go, and that broke our hearts, because we just couldn't go any faster than we were. I mean, mm-hmm. We really need hundreds of buses in every single state taking these stories, because we really have only scratched the surface. There is way more injury out there.
Right. So one of the most life-changing videos I've ever watched in my life came from those interview, and it's in Vax too. It's the McDowell triplets.
Yes.
Do you want to tell us a little bit about the McDowell triplets?
Yeah, I mean, they came to the bus. We didn't know who they were. They sat on the bus and they did the most powerful interview probably that we've ever seen. And it's very interesting, because so many people say to me, well, I'm just going to go for a delayed schedule. Okay, so they went for a delayed schedule. When you watch Vax 2, you will see that's what they did. They only had the pneumococcal vaccine that day, their triplets, and hours, the first child went down. Hours after that, the second, and by the end of the day, all three children had checked out and went on to have a diagnosis of autism. And you can clearly see that those three babies were absolutely bright-eyed and extremely
well, beautiful,
healthy babies. So that is a very important story. for sure. And people right. really, if people are listening now and they think a delayed schedule is a good idea, you can't delay any more than that. And you can't delay any more than the MMR. You can't split those vaccines out, which is what my son had that day. So I have to tell you, please don't think a delayed schedule is a good way forward. The parents around the world are screaming, warning you, it is not, that their children are dead or right. injured from a delayed schedule.
Now, the other thing that happened is the doctors started to show up, and you've had amazing interviews with doctors as you were interviewing the parents.
Yeah, I mean, this really gave us hope and made us cry. I mean, every time we had a highly qualified medical professional stepping onto the bus, hundreds of doctors, and we Vax2 has captured some of those doctors, but there are way more doctors that came on that bus. And there was one that really, really got to us. And he's a professor, Dr. Moss, he's called. And he's a professor and extremely highly qualified. And he came on the bus and he put on his suit jacket. And I said, you don't need to wear a suit jacket to do the interview. And he said, yes, but I do, because tomorrow I probably won't have a job and I want to go out in style. And you know, it made us cry, because this man was so brave. Can you imagine if every doctor did that? If every doctor told the truth on the danger of vaccines rather than the money.
Right.
Which is many, many doctors say, I would love to do this and I'd love to stop vaccinating, but Polly, if I do that, I won't be able to put my kids through college. I won't be able to pay the mortgage. I won't be able to live the life that we're accustomed to. And I find that very hard to listen to, because babies will die if you continue to vaccinate.
Right. Right. I can't accept that excuse. I think there's always a way. And, you know, there's certain lines that can't be crossed. And it's funny, John Rappaport the other day said every doctor in America is going to have to face a spiritual crisis. And here it is. So the doctors came on the bus, and then you became overwhelmed by the death. By yes. the destruction, because you were watching, and you can see this, you are, especially with the Gardasil, seeing those beautiful young women, you know, absolutely destroyed or killed, and for no reason. I mean, absolutely no reason. I forget what the name of the one with the dark hair who explained she's told she might have cervical cancer, and you're thinking, what? So these are horrible stories. Anyway, you became overwhelmed, and then you came up with an absolutely inspired idea. Tell us about your inspired idea. Instead of interviews with the unvaccinated.
Yes. Well, it was odd, because the third time we were out on the bus, our third trip out, I said to Anu, who was driving the bus with me, I said, why, when we get to these stops, are there all these families? I say, hello, you know, are you here to tell your story? And they say, oh no, we're just here to support you, we don't have any vaccines, we're not vaccinated. And I said to him, why are they there? And he was like, I have no idea. And so then it was just like a light bulb moment of, hang on, they're there for a reason. We're supposed to be listening to them. What is it their life like? Because we're told, are we not, that the unvaccinated are dangerous, they spread disease, and they could potentially kill us all. So let's go and find out what's going on with them. And once we open the door to them, we really got to the crux of the situation, because we could tell as they came towards the bus whether they were a vaccine injured family or they were unvaccinated, because the unvaccinated were laughing, there was happiness, their eyes were light, and these children were so bright. It was incredible. And I think the most right. interesting stories we did of all of them were the families when you've got two parents, exactly the same, mummy and daddy. They have the first child and they vaccinate the first child, and the first child then has injuries, either autism or whatever injuries. So they decide to delay the vaccines on the second child and just give a delayed schedule, still injury there. So they then, by their third child, had enough. So they stop back, they don't do any vaccine, they don't do any vitamin K, nothing. And the difference between the children that are vaccinated and unvaccinated with the same parents, same environment and same family is unbelievable. You suddenly realize right. that's why they're not doing or allowing the vax-unvax studies to be published.
Well, that's what one of the researchers one of the researchers you interviewed said, if the unvaxxed are allowed to stay unvaccinated, the parents will ultimately figure it out.
Exactly. And that's when we started doing the facts and facts stories on the bus going live. That's when our censorship stepped up. That's when we got kicked off Facebook going live.
Really?
Yes. And that's when we knew that this is what they don't want the world to see. And so now I say to parents, instead of saying, do your search, you know, Google and all that kind of stuff. I don't do that. It's owned by Big Pharma anyway. If you want to do your search, go and speak to families that did vaccinate and then stopped. That was, and keep going until you're satisfied, because you will not believe the difference in the vax versus unvax. And it will make your heart weep that you ever put a vaccine in yourself or your child. As a parent of a vaccine-injured child, and all three of my children vaccinated, because I continued to vaccinate. I so believed and trusted the medical profession. I, even after Billy was injured, continued to vaccinate my new baby, because, you know, who wants polio? And I just didn't right. know. So I don't have a vaccine-free child. And each one of my children has either, you know, gut issues, or my daughter has rheumatoid arthritis, age 25. That's not okay. And that's a side effect of the MMR vaccine, by the way. But I just want to say that when we see these vaccine-free children, we're so happy for those families, because some of them have listened to the stories and they've listened and they're living this wonderful life. But it's also a massive kick in the gut that all three of my children, for example, could have been so much better, so much healthier, maybe focused more. You know, we see that we don't have these problems that these vaccinated children have with focusing and understanding things. We don't have that in the vaccine-free. They're so bright that it's
right.
a realization of what's happened, what we've done to our children.
One of the ways that vax saved my life, I'm going to talk money for a second. You had a mother, she's an African-American, very well-spoken, who describes the fact that if you have a heavily autistic child, and her estimate was it's going to cost you $5 million to provide for the education and care for that child. And it was very interesting, because until I heard her, a light bulb went off. And I had so many clients who were wealthy, who were grandparents, who would say to me, you know, I can't persuade my child not to vaccinate my grandchild, and it's their decision, it's none of my business. And Polly, I started saying, well, wait a minute, your child doesn't have $5 million, but you do. So here's the thing, if your grandchild is heavily, you know, is vaccine injured and becomes heavily autistic, you're out $5 million, so it is your business because you're the banker. That was number one. But the other thing is, by going back and forth between the stories and then what was happening with my clients that had the injured vaccine kids, I could calculate what was the financial damage, you know, what was the damage to the whole family ecosystem, grandparents, parents, siblings. You know, it would radiate, and you could calculate financially and in human terms what the damage was. And it was unbelievable, just yeah. unbelievable. And then you ripple it through the community and the education system. And you're talking about, you know, the autism epidemic, or I should say the vaccine injury epidemic, is a financial tsunami that is going through this society. It was incredible.
Oh, I mean, I don't know how the future generations are going to be able to cope, because right now it's bad. The tsunami is here of adults with autism, a brain injury beyond belief. But what is going to happen when we're gone, when the parents are all gone and the siblings have all had breakdowns because they've lived it all their lives and they're living with guilt and huge emotional problems? What is going to happen? I mean, I see them building hospitals with beds, psych hospitals, where, you know, unfortunately, it's going to be 4-point restraints and medication until they live their life.
Right.
That doesn't sit okay with me. So we here are, we just had 40 acres donated in Austin, Texas, and we are building a center for adults with autism, and we're going to film it, and we're going to show everybody how this has got to be done. Because we, as a human race, we have to look after these people that have been injured, because their life has been taken away from them as it should have been. And it's our duty to make sure that they're comfortable as they live out their life, not put them in a 4-point restraint, because that's the only way that they're going to be able to deal with or unless we get going now.
So once you did the comparison of the unvaccinated with the vaccinated, I started calculating in my mind, because you had several situations where you're talking about how much healthier the unvaccinated are, and then how much more often the vaccinated, different parents are talking about their ear infections or this kind of thing, that kind of thing. And what you realize is the vaccinations are harming an immune system sufficient to create an annuity for the pharmaceutical companies, you know, for the next 60 years. It's extraordinary. If you look at the, you know, if you look at the present value, economic value of a vaccine injured kid versus a healthy kid to the pharmaceutical industry, it's not just the business of vaccines, it's the business of chronic disease. And so the, you know, America also has an epidemic of chronic disease, and the profits from that are absolutely extraordinary, especially when you lever them in the stock market. So you see the unbelievable financial pressure to basically make America sick. It's the only way I can describe it.
Oh, follow the money on everything. And it's not, forget autism. Take autism out of the equation for a second. When we were looking and interviewing these unvaccinated families, they don't even have the peanut allergies. They don't have eczema, right. Asthma, any of these things. So it's goodbye big pharma when everyone stops vaccinating, because that we don't need you anymore, because but you saw these stories, story after story, we don't go to see a doctor because we're never sick. Now, I will say one thing. When we were listening to the Vax studies that have been done that aren't being published, but the results are out there, if you want to find them, you can find them. Something wasn't adding up with us. We were just like, hang on a minute, there's still unvaccinated people that are still sick, you know, with asthma and allergies, and very low percentage, but they're still there. And we're not seeing that on the road. So we started changing our questioning, and it turned out the unvaccinated families that had the vitamin K at birth, they still had some sickness. So wow. We suddenly uncovered that the vitamin K, which is not a vaccine, it's not classed as a vaccine, is causing a massive problem. So we started calling the clean vax three families without the vitamin K. And they tended to be people who gave birth at home. Their health was unbelievable. The vitamin K babies with no vaccines did have problems. So, and many parents not even knowing if their child had been given the vitamin K, because the nurses just give that little thing as soon as your baby's born, because they tell you if you don't have this, your baby's brain will bleed and it will die. That's simply not true. And I urge parents, do your own research on that vitamin K. Really check out what's in there, because it will horrify you.
So, is there an insert that comes with it? Can a parent get an insert on a vitamin K?
There is an insert. And in fact, I just got a friend who's a doctor who's just managed to get one for me. They are hard to get. They will not want to give it to you. And many parents, again, being told that if you don't give your baby this vitamin K, we will not release you from this hospital. CPS will be called, and you will have possibly, some people have had their babies taken and forcibly given the vitamin K. So yeah, I we're very early in finding out this information on the vitamin K, but for sure. The babies are much healthier without it. So I urge parents, whatever it takes, do your research on that yourself.
One of the things that you brought out in numerous different interviews is the extent of the fear which is used to persuade, whether it was a young girl or a parent, to vaccinate their children was breathtaking. I mean, the bullying is extraordinary. And so a parent needs to be prepared and trained to deal with that kind of bullying, because it is extreme. You did a very good job of showing that.
I mean, I just want to say on that note, personally, as a mother to another mother that may be listening, if you think that you have a good relationship with your pediatrician, just watch what happens when you go in and question a vaccine, because your relationship will change. Don't expect that white coat pediatrician to give you the proper answers to your questions on vaccines, because you will get things like, oh, autism and vaccines, there's no relationship there at all. It was all made up by Dr. Andy Wakefield. He's a fraud. You're going to get that. you're going to get that it's just a mass hysteria from anti-vaxxers. If someone's listening right now and says, well, you know, you all are kind of crazy anti-vaxxers, please remember this. We all vaccinated our children. We are what's called ex-vaxxers. We're not anti-vaxxers. Anti-vaxxers are clever people who did their research. We are ex-vaxxers and we all vaccinated our children. So just slow down and think about what's being said to you in the media and by your doctors.
I remember watching one interview of you when you said, you know, that you were very pro-vaccination. And I thought, what a journey. What a journey to come from somebody who was very pro-vaccination. Something has happened. Oh, go ahead. Yes.
No, I was just going to tell you a terrible story. This is how pro-vaccine I was. When my little girl was in kindergarten, there was another mother there who did not vaccinate her children, and she was taking them to India. So we were in England, and she was taking her children to India for the whole of the summer vacations, unvaccinated. And I actually went home to I said to my husband, do you think we should call Child Protective Services? Because those children are going to die. And he luckily said, yeah, I was passionate that she was going to kill her children. There are no vaccines and they're going to India. And he said to me, it's actually none of our business, so no, back off. But I would have done, because I truly believed what she was doing was wrong. And of course, those children came back absolutely fine. Right. I felt embarrassed to tell you that story, but I just wanted to know that I was so pro-vaccine. And the whole thing is embarrassing, but at least for anyone listening who's the same as I used to be, please don't make the same mistakes that I've made.
So something has happened. And I'm very interested in sort of, you know, this is true for all investment bankers. It's the field, when the field changes. So I'm thinking in terms of morphogenic fields. But something happened, and I very much credit it to Vaxxed and now Vax2, and the bus trip. What has happened, you know, the hard part, imagine you're Polly or another parent like you. You're intelligent, you're successful. This happens, and you start to go through a process, and you can't believe that everything is a lie. You can't believe that the government, the medical profession, the corporations, the media would all have bought into and be perpetrating a lie this big. It's too hard to fathom. It's too big. And it's quite a journey to get to the point where you realize, okay, you know, it the whole process has very low integrity. That's a big journey to get there. But when enough hardworking, responsible, intelligent people go through that process and get there and find each other, then something shifts, because you can't be lied to anymore. You can't be bullied anymore. You can't be tricked anymore. You have the facts. The facts are real. You know them, and they've been corroborated by so many other people like you, that you know the truth, and nothing and nobody can take it away, no matter how much they bully or lie or how much money or power they have. And that shift has now happened. And to me, with vaccines, it's the first time in 100 years.
Yeah, I mean, first of all, if you hurt our babies, I mean, we're mothers, and we hold our beautiful babies in our arms, and the first thing we mentally say to ourselves is, no one's ever going to hurt this baby. And when you hurt our babies, we are going to react. And I think as we have had, thanks to social media, we have this power where we can come together as one big family, because we're all in pain and we're all passionate about stopping other people. And those numbers are growing and growing and growing. And they're trying to censor us every single day. They're trying to put us down. They're trying to, I mean, even with this coronavirus situation right now, we've had to cancel the bus tour, all the film festivals that Facts to the People's Truth in is cancelled. I know coronavirus is for real. I get it. But I will say this, it's a very clever way of stopping lots of people that are in their government's minds out of control and getting together and getting stronger and stronger. We're all cut off right now.
Absolutely.
And censored on social media. But it doesn't matter how many times you do that, because the people are the people. And when the people say, no, you don't touch my family and you don't touch my child, then it's game over. And when they come at us with this new vaccine and say it's mandatory, everyone's got to have it, you watch what our people do. And as I say, we are a very big, strong worldwide family now. And over our dead bodies will these vaccines be coming into our babies or ourselves. We're done. So I think that's going to be over fairly soon. It's got to. But we have to remember one thing, very important. What's going to happen when people wake up and stop vaccinating is possibly there are going to be some injuries from it, and they're going to blame the anti-vaxxers. Here's the problem. The vaccine makers have taken away our natural immunity. When I was a child, my mother took me to get measles, mumps, rubella, all of these child chickenpox. We had to go to parties and share suckers, little lollipop suckers. We passed it around, and so we all caught it. And it wasn't that easy. You know, we'd be very disappointed if we hadn't caught the measles, have to go to another one. But it was done for a reason. Boys especially had to get mumps before, you know, puberty set in, and we had it under control, and that has gone. And so for that reason, we're going to have to let nature re-put itself back in order. And I don't know how many years that's going to take, but it's going to be okay if we get through that. But there's no vaccine on earth that is worth risking anything, and you know, your job, your school, your state, your house, wherever, whatever you think it is that's really important to put that vaccine into your child. If your child dies from it, or your child gets injured like my child, and many, this is another really important thing, many people now, because of vaccines, not being able to have babies. So you take my son, the autism, they're never going to get married and have children, the level of autism my son has. You've got the goddess or girls who have gone through menopause, age 16. They will never have
children.
You've got the kids that are paralyzed from the waist down, a lot of children in wheelchairs from these vaccines as well. They will never have children. So do you see what's happening? And just girls in general finding it very hard to get pregnant. And we're not seeing that in the vaccine-free. So there's a real big problem there as well.
Right. Well, I hope you're right about the tipping point, because I said the first day of the coronavirus, our problem is not the virus. Our problem is going to be the vaccine they try and use this to push on us. So as you know, they're pushing vaccine mandates all around the country in the United States and all around the world. China adopted a national vaccine mandate in December 2019, right before the coronavirus started. So this is a battle that's coming down to every state house and has become very extreme. One of the people we've had on the Salieri Report several times is Alan Phillips, and he was just disbarred because he refused to turn over his client files to the Bar Association. He was representing families who wanted exemptions in a variety of different states. So this fight is turning very mean. I know you've been involved. Have you been involved with some of the fights at the state legislature?
Yeah, we turn up with the bus. I try and stay. I did start out on the first vaccine. I would go around with Andy and Dell to the politicians. But I called a politician out for taking pharmaceutical money, and then I had to publicly apologize, apparently. So they then decided I wasn't suitable to be around politicians, which is fine by me. I didn't stick to the family. I don't get on well with politicians. But anyway, they do all take pharmaceutical money. And this guy said, this particular politician in Sacramento said to me, why would I be any different from any other politician? I don't understand the conflict of interests that are around. I say this to everybody, please follow the money again with the politicians. It's quite incredible how Big Pharma pretty much rule the world.
Well, if you look at how much money they put into the media pockets, But the other thing is, I think what really scares people is they are very effective at bullying you personally in a variety of ways, or arranging for you to be bullied. It's quite extraordinary. I've had a couple of experiences where, you know, somebody turns up and starts bullying me, and you can tell they've been given a mission. I'm to be given a message. And it's extraordinary and very, very invasive. And one of the things that makes me ask all the time is, what in the world are they really putting in this stuff? I'm sure you've seen the excerpts from the vaccine summit in Switzerland in December.
Mm-hmm.
But it certainly looked to me, I only watched the excerpts. Del Bigtree did a video where he put his commentary between various excerpts, but it certainly looked to me like the pushback of the parents and the doctors had reached enough of a a place where you literally had the program heads in the different countries saying, well, we don't have any studies that prove that these are safe and effective alone, individually, let alone when you put them all together in one small body. And to me, just watching those excerpts, it looked to me like the global vaccine program had stalled.
Yeah, I mean, I think the problem is that the general public, there's people like us that listen to the media outside of the pharmaceutical media, and there's a lot of us doing that now. Most people have turned off their mainstream televisions and they're listening to the real things that are going on by interviews like the one you're doing, your radio show.
Right.
But unfortunately, the majority of people still turn on their TVs and they listen to CNN or the doctors that are paid for Big Pharma, and they believe it. And these are the people that we need to get to. And that's really the crux of what's happened behind Vax 2. It was really meant for those people. It was meant for those young people that think that they can just go and get vaccines to get into college. Who cares? It's not going to happen to me. I'm not going to get autism, so it doesn't matter. It was actually, do you know you can die from a vaccine? Did you know that? Because they don't. No one has a clue because we're so brainwashed. But if it's on TV, then it must be correct, right? If it's on a billboard, it must be true, because they wouldn't put it on a billboard if it wasn't true. That used to be my thinking, so I do get it.
So let me ask you, Paulus, one of the things you make clear in Vax 2 is that you're learning a lot, that you had no idea the depth and breadth of the problem. Just say a few words about, from the moment you bought to the bus until you finished with all 7,044 signatures on the bus, what did you learn?
I learned that every single vaccine has a terrible issue attached to it. I learned about vaccines that I didn't even know existed. I learned about the bullying from the parent, from the doctors to the parents, about what will happen if you don't get this vaccine. I learned how easily we all are bullied and brainwashed. And the most important thing of all that I learned is, you know what? Thanks to the unvaccinated, you can have a healthy life like you're supposed to. And you can stand up to these doctors and say, no, this is my child. You do not touch them. These families showed me how it should have been and that we shouldn't be afraid. And we don't have to go to hospital and give birth. If you're having a perfectly normal pregnancy, in the early days, nobody went to hospital and gave birth.
Right.
And it was really a massive education from these vaccine-free families of how it should have been. And so I learned everything in the last 4 years since Vax 1. I learned more and everything from the parents. And I urge everybody, please speak to the parents, not just one, speak to hundreds. Or you know what? Go and listen to all our Periscopes. Go onto the Roku channel.
They can listen.
And you'll hear them.
They can listen to all the interviews, can't they? They can listen to all of them. Yeah.
And people say to me, they say, well, Polly, it's not real because you chose these people. I have no idea when I would, every day I would wake up on the bus and I would be sent the schedule of where I'm going. And I would turn up there and there'd be lines of people I have never met in my life. And they say that we made this film, the critics say, well, you know, you made this film and put in the ones that you thought would make a good story. I cannot tell you how there are hundreds and hundreds of every of those stories. They're all the same. If we had a death from measles, from any of these illnesses that we vaccinate for, that story would have been in Vax 2, because that story is as important as the child that died from the vaccine of measles. But we can't find any. We've been asking and calling out if there's anyone that has a family member of any age or generation that died from measles, we have to hear that story. And there's no one even knows anybody.
Right.
So
now, as you went along, did you deal with the corporate media at all? Did you have to deal with their bullying at all?
We did. Actually, the worst media of all is in England. And we actually had a couple of reporters turn up following the bus and got on the bus to interview and say, you know, Andrew, it was all about Andrew Wakefield. Andrew Wakefield's crazy and you're all brainwashed. All of you are brainwashed by Andrew Wakefield. I mean, none of us had even heard of Angie Wakefield when we had our babies and vaccinated them. And even in the youth, the young ones, with their newly vaccinated babies would come on the bus and say, well, I don't even know who Angie Wakefield is. And they'd never even watched Vax. They just knew that there was this black bus going around. It's somewhere they can go and report their injuries. Yes, but we did have a few people shout, you know, hope your child dies from measles, terrible things like that, whatever. But the worst bullying we get is online. So I think they're just paid pharmaceutical trolls.
Yeah, they're just paid. They're
paid. To just say terrible things to you to hope that they break you down. And to start with, it's a shock and it's upsetting. And they say horrible things about your family. And they might even try and contact. I've had my children get contacted with terrible things about their mother. But you just know that they're there to break you down. And you will win this if you're telling the truth, which I am with my son's story, and all these other parents are as well, then the truth will win. It has to win, and right. It will win.
Right, right, it will. So before the travel restrictions shut you down, what were you doing with the bus? What is the post-vax 2 bus doing?
Well, we went straight back out on tour, and the stories have gone up a notch. So now we are seeing many more adults coming out talking about their injuries following adult vaccines, and that's so horrific. You know, healthcare workers that needed the series of Hep B that now can't walk or have spasms and they can't work anymore. Firefighters, paramedics, all of these people that now can't do their job because the Hep B in adults has actually wrecked them to be able to work or do anything like that. And of course, meningitis, flu vaccine causing horrific injuries everywhere. So it's really interesting that now it's becoming about the adults. And of course, there's death everywhere. Many parents telling us that their parents, the grandparents, had the flu vaccine and then died. So a lot of death and injury from these adult vaccines. So that's what's happened. So we were just about to go back out on tour. We finished in Utah. The bus is parked in Utah. And we, because of the coronavirus, the film festival and all of our stocks have been cancelled. So, well, it's fine. We'll sit back and we'll wait and we will go back out on tour. So, and then we'll be dealing with the coronavirus.
Can you do interviews online?
We can do, but I much prefer to be there in person because they need big hugs afterwards. And I just feel it just doesn't seem as personal. And I just really... I need to be close to them because it's very traumatic having to go back to and tell your story of what happened, because a lot of people are not talking about it because they get called that they're crazy. So when they sit down on that bus, which is an emotional place to be anyway, if you get a chance to see that bus, you will see as you go towards it, you will cry because it's just, there's now 9,400 names on that bus.
Oh, you're up to 9,000.
9,400 names. And then inside the bus, there are many, many pictures of people that have died following vaccines. And you step into that bus and you see it's very emotional. So there's a lot of tears and also it's a safe haven for people to talk. So the bus will continue. And as soon as this craziness is over with the coronavirus, we'll be back out on the road. And we spoke, Autism One in Chicago is our next big, it's in May. And we're hoping that doesn't get canceled because it's a wonderful place for everyone to go. You don't have to have an autistic child. You can just go there and meet hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people that have had the same story as probably you if you've vaccinated your child.
So the first thing that everybody can do is to buy the DVD and screen the film, explore all the different videos and interviews you have on your channels, and then they can recommend it. They can spread it around. If somebody's interested in a screening, can they contact you through the website to arrange a screening?
You can, but the problem, well, first of all, nothing's going to happen, of course, because of all these people in the theatres at the moment. But most theatres have censored us. They will not let us play. AMC theatres were showing our film. They've now put under too much pressure. They've pulled. So it's very few theatres now are letting us play the film, I'm afraid. But that should say something to you all. If you're listening and you're just thinking, this is nonsense. Why would they censor this film if it's nonsense? They're censoring it because it's the truth. There's lots of nonsense films that are playing in theatres and they're allowed to play, but No, they don't want you to hear the truth.
Well, so. It's interesting. We just published two interviews, one with John Rappaport on the coronavirus and the risk of a vaccine, and another with Mary Holland, who's the vice chairman of Children's mm-hmm. Defense Fund, on vaccine mandates. And we put up 3-minute excerpts in video form that were posted on Vimeo. Vimeo spiked both of them.
Yeah.
And they said, they basically said Mary Holland was, you know, saying fraudulent things, which is just...
There's no one more intelligent in the world than Mary Holland. That's why we set up our own channel. It took us 3 years to build it. So thank goodness for clever
right.
people in our movement. And that's why we have our own channel, so they can't touch us. And it's called Peeps TV because we can't call anything intelligent. We have to hide under a name like Peeps TV. And that the people themselves came up with that idea, so we've gone ahead with it. But please go over there and check it out. And if you have a film that's been banned, we'll play it for you on that. So just contact us if you have any story or film that's been taken off. We will play it on our channel.
So we can sign up for your channel. We can buy the DVD. We can get other people to watch it. We can spread it. How can we support you? Can we donate at the site?
Yes, if you go to vax2.com, there is a donate button, and it really, any of those funds will go towards the gas for the bus. I mean, that bus, $120 every 300 miles. It's a big old bus. So that, we're very grateful for any gas support. But otherwise, the people are very good. They carry us, they feed us. It's really just a wonderful, it restores your faith in humanity. I'll tell you this, America has some amazing people in it. Amazing people in America. Never felt such love from people.
Yes. And we can sign up for your email. You have an email update, correct?
Yes. So you can sign up, and when we get alerts on anything, we will let you know as well. So, you know, the way censorship is going, we should all try and stay together as much. I can't even get on Facebook anymore. So they banned me. So, you know, it is what it is.
Okay, well, we'll post this. This normally our interviews are subscriber only, but this one is going to be public. So we will let you know when it's public. We'll send it out to our full email list. But Polly, if there's anything we can ever do, we brought up our own video server so we can post videos. We can.
They can't stop the people. It's the people's truth, and we are getting bigger and more powerful. So join us, people. Join us, and let's end this barbaricness in the world.
That's, I think, the hardest thing for me in watching Vax2 is every time I dip into this topic, you realize how extraordinarily barbaric it is. But I used to have a pastor who would say, if we can face it, God can fix it. And I think that's why it's so unbelievable. It's so hard to face how barbaric it is, but it's so important to face it. And I really appreciate how you've brought that out without making it too unbearable. I think you did a great job in Vax2 of doing that. So barbaric is the perfect word. Well, Polly, Tommy, thank you for everything you do. If there's anything we can do to help, we're standing by, and God bless.
Thank you, and thank you so much for your support.
Have a wonderful day, Polly. Bye.
Thank you so much.